Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Cavs, Pacers, tonight, Indianapolis, 7:30, ESPN. That's where you want to go if you want to see it. And of course, reaction, you know, you'll always be able to talk to us here at 92.3 The Fan, and we'll take care of you. And, you know, as we break news and let you know what's going on, we're hearing what's going on in Indianapolis right now. If you're just tuning in, you're just hopping in the car, Mobley, Garland, Hunter, all on the floor for shoot around this morning. All three guys injured in game two, and now we'll see if they're able to battle back here in game number three, where the Cavs are desperately looking for a win. And let's be honest, Jeff and I talked about it. 2-1, you're back in it. 0-3 history.
You are back in it if you win tonight. You know, you really
I'll
are.
Buy it. Yeah.
I mean, you could lose game four and be down 3-1 and come back home and, you know, take care of business.
Yeah, there's that whole down 3-1 thing. Has that happened around here once?
I do believe it might have.
I do too. All right. I also asked you the question, how confident are you in getting a win tonight? And I'll give you the chance to answer that question again. 216-474-0092. Jim in Strongsville, our good friend Jim in Strongsville. Hello, Jim.
Hey, guys. 100%. They're 100% going to win. I'm guaranteeing it. Write it down. Put it on the wall. Menigan, it's happening. Jeff, I'm disappointed in your lack of confidence in this team. It makes me sad. You're usually
your lack of faith.
Jim, did you pick him in game two?
I did.
Yeah, so did I.
Here's part of the thing, too. It's like the ran out of gas thing and all that. Like, I get that. I understand it. I get that's how the Indiana was in with the position that they were in at the end of the game. But I'm sorry. There's no excuse for the just general basketball mishaps that happened in the last 59 seconds. You didn't get the ball over half court. You let a guy put a dunk back in off of a missed free throw. I mean, there were just, whether it was a lane violation or not, you can't do that. Donovan Mitchell you can't throw and corner Donovan Mitchell in the corner. Max Strus can't throw the ball away. Look, that was like rec league basketball, and I was surprised because it reminded me of when the Pistons lost, you know, when the Pistons dropped. I remember thinking when the Pistons dropped that game to the Knicks, how they kind of fell apart in the last 59. They did the same thing. Nobody wanted the ball.
Yeah.
Nobody knew what to do with the ball. It was like a hot potato. And I thought, well, you know, we got a bunch of veterans. We're not a young team. This shouldn't be an issue for us. And I was really shocked that it was an issue for us.
All right, Jim.
One of the reasons I think that the Pacers win game three, Jim. I thought the Cavs had game two. I thought they were going to win it before it ever even started. And
I think if you get
they played great. They played great for three quarters.
If you get Darius back tonight, it's a lock. Look, here's the problem. That's why they play seven games in the NBA, because the Cavs, I get they have injuries, but they're just a better team. In a seven game, like Boston, I don't think they're too worried either. I just think that's why you play seven games, so that you give the best team the best chance to win. And so I think the Cavs are a better team. I think they're going to get some guys back. I'm confident in this team. I don't want this season to end like this.
Me either. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it. Cleveland in Cleveland. Hello, Cleveland.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
All right. All right. I just wanted to let you know I'm with Jeff.
Oh, you think they're losing tonight, huh?
Yeah, because they have a couple of things that aren't quite right. Like, number one is Dean Wade has excellent defense, but he doesn't have a shot anywhere around the paint. Okoro, he's got shots in the paint, but he has nothing from the outside too much. He's a you know, sometimey. And then the coach from Indiana made sure that Ty Jerome, he hasn't started anywhere in this league as a starter at any time. We've been trying to win for 3 years with this core, switching coaches up, get a new coach, old coach leaves, he's coach of the year, new coach is coach of the year. I mean, not coach of the year, but he was a candidate, Bickerstaff, and
finished second.
Everybody wants us to win within a couple of years of trying to get this stuff organized, and I don't see it. And I'll let you go.
Well, hey, Cleveland, I want to ask you a question. The three guys you brought up, are you still there, Cleveland?
Yeah, I'm still
all right, so if you get Mobley, Garland, and Hunter back tonight, that pushes those guys all back to the bench. I mean, Okoro's already coming off the bench. Wade's going to come off the bench. Jerome's going to come off the bench. So now do you feel the same way? If those three guys play tonight, kind of shoots down your theory on the reason, the troubles they were Cavs were having.
Yeah, maybe so, and that could be possible. But I'm just looking at the sureness of it, because this coach Carlisle's not a joke, man, and he's gonna come at you any way he can. And all of those guys for Indiana, yeah, they have a special shot that they know that if they shoot it, it goes in, and that's almost every player on that team.
All right,
I'll let you go.
Thank you, Cleveland. We'll let you go. We appreciate it. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092.
One thing the Cavs have to do tonight is play the same style of defense that they played in Game 2, because they made Indiana work for shots in Game 2, and Indiana wasn't good early on. You know, the Cavs had a great first quarter in that game. Indiana put up only 15 points. They eventually, as I've mentioned a couple of times, you know, scored in the mid-30s in each of the next three quarters. But you had that 15-point quarter that carried you, if you're the Cavaliers. And if the Cavs can make them work for shots tonight, then I think the Cavs have a chance. But, you know, we've all seen too much of this stuff. I just think the Cavs' best opportunity, and that's, you know, there are just all kinds of little mitigating factors that went into my thought that they were going to win Game 2. And, man, I thought they had it, Andy. I really did. And then there are all kinds of little mitigating factors that go into Game 3 tonight that make me think it's an Indiana game.
But they did until the last minute of a game. I mean, it
no, I know, Dan.
It felt like it was a good trade. No, I'm not pushing back on that one. But if anything, if you put it in that context that you're in the lead until the last minute of a game, and now all of a sudden you lose it in the last minute for a lot of things that, hey, ball bounces one way. Yes, there's right. Some boxing out stuff. Yes, there's some miscellaneous other things. Shouldn't that give you a level of confidence that, like, hey, without these guys, we got this far?
No.
Bounce did us in.
And you know why? Because I've watched way too much NBA basketball. These series have ebbs and flows to them, and you can tell, you know what's coming the next game and blah, 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 blah. I just had a feeling Cavs were going to respond like absolute crazy in their great environment over at Rocket Arena. And Donovan was going to be a beast, and he was. And Indiana was going to be flat, because that's the thing here. I had a great feeling that Indiana was going to be flat because they were so good in Game 1. So good. They shot so well. They were so wide open, blah, 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 blah. I just thought, the Cavs are going to have the opportunity in this game to win this basketball game because of the factors that are going to be put in place. And it's exactly the way it played out, and they still couldn't pull it off. Tonight, those factors change completely. See, that's the thing people need to remember. From game to game, there's not necessarily building off of a game in the playoffs. It's a whole new game. It's a whole new situation. Mm-hmm. Indiana might have been flat in Game 2. They are not going to be flat Game 3 at home with a chance to go up 3-0 on the team that kicked everybody's butt in the Eastern Conference. That place is going to be going nuts. They'll have a good crowd in there. I wonder if it's going to be a sellout. You never know. Indiana is not a great, historically, NBA town, to be honest. They're a great,
you would think,
great
in this
college
scenario,
and basketball area.
High school.
Yeah. High school, yeah. But I just think that the factors change from game to game. And the factor of Indiana playing so great in Game 1 leading to a letdown in Game 2, that's gone. I mean, that's out the window. The Cavs being incredibly chip on their shoulder, now the guys are down and here comes Donovan and everything else, that narrative has changed a little bit. You get guys back tonight, that's all well and good. Everybody's assuming, oh, you get them back, they're all good to go. Now what if they're all playing at 60%? So that's my point.
All right, so
the narrative changes, factors change. And that's why I think the Cavs are going to be hard-pressed to win tonight. They could do it, but I think they're going to be hard-pressed to win.
So you talk about that 60%. Kenny Atkinson talked about it yesterday. Was there any indication that the injured players would play?
It's so hard with these. The only way I could answer that is like kind of gotten their bodies. Otherwise, I'm just playing a guessing game. You never know, and I think it's frustrating for all of us. And it's no indictment on anybody or the play. You know, none of that. Injuries are a tough thing.
Again, Mobley, Garland, Hunter, all at shoot-around this morning. I'm listening to all those things you said, Jeff, and it's hard for me to argue a lot of those points.
May I push back on Mr. Phelps' points?
Well, hang on, just real quick.
Of course.
But I can envision a scenario where these three guys are playing tonight, where you're taking the pressure off of the other players that you use, the bench guys that probably, you know, did a great job but could not finish the job in game number two, and there's a reason why. I mean, and so when you get into a situation like this, I expect Indiana to come out on fire tonight with the crowd, everything Jeff talked about there, and the Cavaliers will start making their money in the second quarter on, and then we'll see.
If the Cavs can sustain what I think will be a real initial strong burst from Indiana, then I think you're right.
Yeah,
Cavs can come back in that game, just like Indiana did in game two.
And like Indiana did in game one here. Remember, Cavs came out strong game one. Now what were you going to say, sir?
Oh, no, I was going to push back a smidge on Jeff. And look, I have a feeling this game is going to be real back and forth. I don't think this is going to be a blowout any direction.
I would agree.
But the one thing that definitely came out of it is the Cavs clearly seem to stumble into, and stumble is the wrong term, but make an adjustment into where they forced Indiana in that game to play a Cleveland Cavalier pace. It was a lot slower. They covered the three-point line a little bit better. They seemed to be communicating a little bit better on different assignments on the defensive end, not giving up as many wide-open three-pointers. And we'll be honest, a little bit of regression took place from the three-point line for the Pacers. And so I partially wonder if, okay, so is the game one, is that what we are going to see? Or are we going to see game two where the Cavs were able to come out and dictate that tempo a little bit and cause the Pacer offense to have a little bit more issue? And it wouldn't shock me if game two is where we've end.
In one quarter, the Pacer offense had issue. In the second, third, and fourth, they scored 105 points. So early on, I agree with you on that, Dan. Early on, I do. But in the fourth quarter, Pacers shot 54% and 67% on threes. In the third quarter, Pacers shot 56.5% and 40% on threes. And then in the second quarter, after scoring only 15 in the first quarter, Pacers shot 61% and 57% on threes. Cavs defense was pretty good for 12 minutes. That was it.
I think Cav defense was pretty good overall.
Okay. Like, what means good defense? Because they didn't hold their shooting percentages down and they didn't hold their point totals down. So what's good defense?
Well, good defense was making them work for every single shot. Well, good defense God, was did. The fact that you watched scored. Tyrese Halliburton limping around.
And they still scored.
Right. So good on him. You had to work your tail off to get there. You've done what you can do. It's not like all of a sudden defense sucks because they made shots. Hey, you tip your cap to them every so often. How many contested shots Steven do you Vogt. See win games?
Steven Vogt's the only one who's allowed to tip his cap, and he does it 14 times every postgame.
Okay, fine. Then what's the basketball equivalent? Tip your lapel? Is that what we're going to go with? Am I going to unzip my quarter zip for you? Is that how we're going to work?
Can the Cavs win tonight? Absolutely they can win tonight. Absolutely. And they have to or they're done.
Here comes the backside. Go ahead.
Well, there's no but. The only but is I don't think they will.
There you go.
I thought they'd win.
That's a big but, Jeff.
I thought they'd win game two.
It's a big but.
Thank you.
All right. The rookies are in town for football. They're here. Your draft picks, the unsigned drafted guys that were here, they're all here. Rookies are here. Looking forward to it. We're going to hear from some of them today throughout the day. Probably hear from the quarterback sometime tomorrow. Looking forward to that as well. And Andrew Berry was already getting things going this morning on the morning show. What did he have to say? If you missed any of it, we're going to go through it. And if you're a Nick Chubb fan, I don't think you're going to want to hear it. 216-474-0092. Basket of Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Andrew Berry was on with the morning show today. Had a bunch of stuff to say. I thought it was a lot of his quotes this morning. I was like, wow, I get that. We're going to go through some of those right now. Also, the Browns rookies are in Berea. They're getting acquainted to their new job. And I guess it's like, I don't know, was it freshman week out there? Is that what it is? Do you remember?
Freshman week.
I'm surprised ESPN doesn't do a whole freshman week thing or rookie week or something like that. 216-474-0092. That's the number to call in if you want to hop in on the show, or at CLE Talking Heads if you would like to hit us up on social media. Okay, here's where I want to start with Andrew Berry, who's on with the boys in the morning. There was a rumor that Jimmy Haslam made them take Shedeur Sanders. He addressed that.
Yeah.
Let's see what he has to say.
I don't really pay any attention to any of that. We're super excited to have him. You know, we spent a lot of time with him in the process. He's a good kid. He's talented. You know, we were surprised that he was available at 144, and we're excited to have him to the room. But he's got to compete and earn a role just like Dylan, just like Kenny, just like Joe.
Hmm. Did he deny the rumor or didn't say anything about the rumor?
So we don't really say a whole lot.
We don't listen to stuff like that.
Didn't say a whole lot.
Oh.
Do you think?
Well, we walked out of that. You would think if you're a general manager, you'd be like, we don't play games like that. And we decided as a group that we knew what was going on. And he kind of addressed it at the end where he said, you know, for his value based on that pick, that this was, you know, this just made sense for us. But he didn't completely shoot down the fact that Jimmy said, take him.
You know, if you own the team, Andy.
Yeah.
Do you have any problems with them taking Shedeur Sanders at 5 in the 5th round?
Not at all.
I don't either.
No, I mean, well, here's the problem I have. I don't understand why if you're going to do that and you had needs, and we talked about it, maybe there wasn't a wide receiver they thought was worthy of being picked in that spot, and there were other positions they probably could have bolstered, and you took a quarterback a couple rounds earlier. That, to me, that's the whole I don't understand part. Why would you take Dylan Gabriel at one point and then come back and take Shedeur Sanders? Because you feel like the quarterback situation is so inept?
Because you don't have one. That's why. All right, if we have 3 guys who we think are interesting, is that better than having 4 guys who we think are interesting? No, it's not. 4 is 25% better trying to find a quarterback.
There's something to be said for not having drama. And this franchise can't live without it. They cannot live without drama. There always seems to be something that is nationally headline worthy from this franchise to keep the name out there. It doesn't matter how many games they win.
I don't think they're trying
to
keep the name out there. In this case, Andy, I truly think they're looking to find a quarterback.
But they knew when they took Shedeur Sanders that there's entertainment, there's marketing, there's all that.
Guy can play, and maybe they found a guy in the 5th round who can actually help them.
And maybe if they didn't, they sold a bunch of jerseys. Worst case scenario.
I know you make a big deal of that. I'm not even going to argue with you about it because there's a point to what you say.
Mm-hmm.
They need a quarterback more than they need selling some jerseys.
I understand that. I also, and I said this with Johnny Manziel, it's not about what they can do on the field. It's, can you keep your team's name out there so that people are talking about your team? And by the way, there's no such thing as bad news when it comes into that situation.
NFL just has so much stuff, though, Andy, that, I mean, they print money. They dominate headlines. They're looking for a quarterback more than they're looking for hype with a 5th-round pick. And they're taking a chance on Shedeur.
But that hype turns into money somewhere down the road.
Okay, all right, fine.
Yeah,
we have a basic disagreement on that.
Well, here's the point.
I think they took Sanders because they think he might actually be able to play.
Okay, and I'm just looking at it from the other side here saying, if Shedeur Sanders isn't here over the next 3 days, are there any national media people here?
Who cares?
I do, because I'm trying to sell my product to the world.
If they really cared about that, Nick Chubb would be in uniform right now.
No, I don't agree with that. You're talking about your fans here. I'm talking about making the Cleveland Browns brand worldwide, right? I mean, people around the world know the Dallas Cowboys, right? LeBron James is a worldwide brand. When you bring in someone of that marketing ilk, and Shedeur Sanders, you're now asking...
Like a good cup of ilk.
Well, that's... It sounds so gross, doesn't it? You're like,
ilk.
Oh, what'd you have this morning?
Andy, I understand the marketing aspects, and I understand the buzz about Shedeur. If he can't play, they're going to cut him. If he can play, they got a bargain in the 5th round. And those things, if he can play, they got a bargain in the 5th round and the marketing. But they're not going to keep him around if he can't play. They're going to get rid of him.
Jeff, I think he's here. I don't think it matters.
I would bet they try to find some way to keep all 4 quarterbacks in some way, shape, or form. Just keep this in mind. They liked Dylan Gabriel a heck of a lot more. And if you watch Dylan Gabriel play, he's lefty, I know, and so the Tua comparison, his idol, is completely, you know, that's the guy.
Right.
But he looks like him. He throws the same kind of passes. He sets up the same way. I'm anxious to see Dylan Gabriel. You know, if the dude were 6'3", he'd have been, you know, he'd have been a very high draft choice. But he's not. So maybe they actually get a bargain in the third round and find their quarterback. I don't know. We'll see. All I know is they have four guys who could be the starting quarterback, and may the best man win. And I truly don't care which one it is.
Okay, so you're going to hate this next cut then.
Okay.
Andrew Berry, again, on the morning show, dealing with Sanders' popularity.
I think that's like less of an issue for us internally. I know it leads to a lot of conversation and interest, you know, in the media and externally, and understandably so. But for us, we always talk about tuning out the external noise because that doesn't really matter in terms of how we work, how we prepare.
I hope so. But that external noise also led us to believe that a year ago they were concerned about Deshaun Watson and Joe Flacco. And they said, well, that external noise might make a difference here, and we're going to let Joe go, and we're going to, you know, go forward here because we just don't want the pressure, I think, of having Joe here while we're trying to get Deshaun up to speed. Based on the investment, I understand that. From a fiscal standpoint, I get that. But, I mean, the outside noise definitely has a difference. And he said something else, and we'll bring that up a little bit later in the show, but he said something else about the outside noise and how it does influence what they're doing. And I'm not talking about outside noise from fans. All right, I'm going to keep going here. He also said, you know, how does Sanders compare to the other rookies when this camp starts? That's Berry 3.
They've all got to come up the learning curve quickly. You know, they're learning a new system. They're in a new environment. They're learning new skills, you know, kind of on the job. And your focus is it's to make the team. Nobody here has made the team yet, so it's making the team. And then after that, it's earning a role. And that's the same thing for Shador.
Yep.
Yeah, I want to believe that. I don't know that I do.
You and I differ on this one major point.
Okay.
I think it's the NFL. I think they print money. I think the Browns are a big-time franchise in the league when it comes to popularity because there are so many former Clevelanders all over the country, all over the world. Look at the Browns Backers Club. They don't need a fifth-round pick from Colorado who was okay as a quarterback at Colorado to boost the franchise. What they need is a guy who can really play quarterback and help them win games, and maybe it's the one and the same. But they're just not going to keep some kid around who, if they deem he can't play, because they might sell a couple of jerseys. And if they do, well, shame on them. I don't expect that to happen.
Let me rebut with what you're saying is that they keep people around, Jeff, sometimes just because they were drafted. Like, you probably would have cut David Bell last year, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Would you have? Okay, well, yeah, he's a third rounder, probably. He's still on
There's
the roster.
There's a difference between a third and a fifth. Andy, honest to God, once you get past, I think, the
Michael Woods is still around.
The third and some, well, they don't have any wide receivers.
Jeff, they think Jerome Ford, fifth rounder, is a better running back than Nick Chubb. Fifth rounder.
Did you see Nick play last year?
Yeah, in a
Jerome
year.
Jerome Ford was better than Nick Chubb last
but
year.
But I also know that Nick Chubb got hurt the year before, and if you weren't willing to give a guy who gave you everything a little time to heal and get back into play, and we both had this conversation about Chubb before, that based on the injury he had going into last year, he was going to need some time, and we all knew that he wasn't going to look the way he was supposed to look or the way that he's capable of playing, and that it was just going to take a little bit of time. Well, now they're not willing to wait that time.
There's one difference between, say, David Bell and Michael Woods and Jerome Ford.
Okay.
Productivity. One of them is produced. One. And that would be Jerome Ford. Jerome's been okay.
Yeah, I'm not anti-Jerome Ford.
I don't mind having Jerome Ford on the team.
But
he's a fifth-round pick who's come in and actually played pretty well.
He's a fifth-round pick who's contributed, yes.
And they've been so impressed, they drafted two running backs. Oops. Okay.
That doesn't say much for that fifth-round pick right there.
Except, Andy, he's actually produced. He really has. He's been pretty good.
I don't know. I'm looking at some of the other, you know, how many other fifth round? Just Cameron Mitchell is the only other fifth round pick I think they still have on the team that's been here from before. Miles Harden's still on the. I mean, he's a seventh rounder last year. So I just if you think Shador Sanders is some generic fifth-round pick. I just don't see it. I don't see it. I don't think he is
generic. There was no strategic plan to bring him in.
Well, when they picked him, there was. The strategic plan was that he was on
about,
there.
Let's let about 143 guys go by, and then we'll make the big strike we've been planning to make all draft long.
Well, let's face it. I mean, they didn't have to take him. And he, you know, if his value, remember, this was all about a great value pick for a guy that potentially a lot of people thought was, I mean, let's face it. In these mock drafts, he was as high as number two for weeks going into this thing. And if you're sitting there and you're looking at guys on your board that you may have rated, you know, B, 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 and there's still one A-plus sitting there, I can understand why they would take it. I don't know. It makes sense to me. We'll listen more about what Andrew Berry had to say. We're going to have that. And Jeff and I will continue. You want to hop in this conversation? You're more than welcome to at 216-474-0092. Hey, you know what time of year it is, right? It's beautiful outside. It's Mother's Day, right? Did you get your mother a present? You might want to go over to 8803 Breakfast.
There are days.
What did I say?
You still got time.
Yeah.
Oh. So do what you're going to say. Everybody should do right now.
That's right. Go get your mom a present. Go get your mom a nice present. Do it. Go get your wife a nice present. You got kids? Guess what? It's Mother's Day. Mother's Day for her. What are you going to do? You going to go out and get a present? Okay. Where are you going to go? Bookman and Son. Let me sneak into your mind. Bookman and Son. That's right. Josh Bookman gets it. He understands it. And he will take care of you. So if you're trying to find a really, really nice gift, Bookman and Son, 8803 Brecksville Road, they are the fine jewelry store you are looking for, especially if you're thinking about getting engaged, right? Now, maybe the whole family's together on Sunday, right? And you're like, does she fit into my family? Is this going to work? Oh, man, we had such a great time with our family on Mother's Day. I think now's the time. It's time to go get engaged. So go find an engagement ring. And the place to go, 8803 Brecksville Road, and go see Josh Bookman. They're not going to throw a credit app in your face. They are going to take care of you and walk you through the process with no pressure. Bookman & Son, bookmanandson.com, 8803 Brecksville Road. You tell them Andy sent you. The rookies are in town. Cavaliers are getting set for tonight's game three against Indiana. So we're talking a little bit more about what Andrew Berry said this morning on the morning show with Ken and Anthony. Jeff, so far we've kind of discussed it's not the value, it's the perception of Shedeur Sanders. Is that fair? How you kind of perceive it? I think we perceive it a little different. So we can agree to disagree on that. We look at it differently, right?
You perceive it as a marketing ploy, and I perceive it as a chance to maybe get really lucky.
Yeah, I don't think marketing ploy is a fair assessment of what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is that there is marketing value to him being successful on this team.
Well, key word there is successful. You didn't add that before.
Well, he still needs it.
You just kind of said marketing value.
But I also think
if he's good, oh, look out.
Well, but the other thing is that I think that because of the marketing value and I also say this based on Brown's history and how they feel about their own draft picks, that he will be around here for a while. Like, I can't see them. I don't see either one of these quarterbacks going anywhere unless one just jumps so far ahead of the other that they feel like they could trade and get good value for either one of these guys. I could probably see Gabriel being – I don't. As long as Kevin Stefanski's here, I don't feel like Dylan Gabriel is a guy that could get traded. But, I mean, you just never know. You never know what could happen with these four guys coming in.
It's wide open.
Yeah.
Who knows? All I know is you're talking an awful lot about Shedeur Sanders right now.
Yeah. And we are.
Just an awful lot.
Everybody is, though.
You know, he was the third pick.
Yeah, I know he was.
You know that, right?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, somebody else was in the third round. You know that, right?
I 100% know that, Jeff. Yes.
In accordance with the radioactive 1927 equal time for Dylan Gabriel.
That's right. The third round pick. He went to, and I'm going to mispronounce the name, Punahou School, if that's correct.
Go for it.
Through the eighth grade. It's a college prep school. Also attended by.
Help me.
Barack Obama. There you go.
Oh, that radio act was so big in 1927.
What's a big deal?
Yeah. Great Mississippi Flood was that year, too.
Yeah, so were the Murderers Row, the Yankees.
We just got to make sure that we stay, you know, We got to stay on task here. We got to
make sure
we're
giving. The poor kid deserves his fair share, and by God, we're going to make sure he gets it.
You know, given current and up-to-date information, even if it's 98 years old, it doesn't matter. We still abide by that. Good job.
Laws are laws, Andy.
Until they're not.
Murdering somebody in 1794 seemed to be a crime then.
Where?
Seems to be a crime now.
Where? I don't know if murdering somebody in 1794 out west, where there was no laws, seemed to matter. Do you want to debate this?
Explains a lot.
Let me take some phone calls. Wally's in Cleveland. Hey, Wall.
Yes. Good day to both of y'all.
Hi, Wally.
Good day to you, yes.
It's been a while since I called in, but...
We've missed you.
I agree with Jeff about Shador Sanders. Mr. Haslam pulled the trigger on that, like he pulled the trigger on getting a new stadium, and also like he pulled the trigger on Deshaun Watson. So he's looking at, when I get this new stadium, I got two quarterbacks that can play in the new stadium, and hopefully we win the Super Bowl. So I agree, it's not a advertising of getting him. It's he's looking at the future. He's putting his name on the future by getting Shador Watson. And that's all I have to say.
Okay. Thank you, Wally. Shador Sanders, I think is what he meant.
That's correct.
But if he's saying getting him to move into a new stadium.
Well, here's the deal. We don't have a quarterback on this team. Now you have four possibilities. To me, four is better than three. And Andy, I'm not ruling anybody out here, are you?
None.
I think they all have a chance.
You could sit there and we could talk to 20 different people and they would rank all four quarterbacks in a different spot. They could all come up with a legitimate argument and you could probably agree with anyone that has any four of the quarterbacks slotted in any specific spot.
I would think the guy with the longest shot of being the starter week one is Shador. And he's just barely slightly behind Dylan Gabriel. And I say that only because they clearly evaluated Gabriel a little bit higher. That doesn't mean that he can't come in and starting here at minicamp just be great. Man, and Andy, I hope he is. And I hope Dylan Gabriel's great. And then I hope Kenny Pickett comes in and is phenomenal. Wouldn't that be unbelievable if instead of having, well, do we have one who can maybe take some snaps? Oh, wait, we have three? And Flacco? It'd be great.
David is in Lakewood. Hi, David.
David.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, man.
I've got a couple questions, but I want to start with just one for Jeff. So do you feel, going back to Chubb before we talk about the rookies,
yeah.
Do you feel like what you saw last year is what you're going to see this year?
That's a good question, David. But if you've listened to the show, you might recall a couple of weeks ago, we did something about great running backs and how in almost every case, I think it was Barry Sanders and Walter Payton, among the greatest running backs ever, who did not finish their careers with the same team. Jim Brown was another one. And I just think the Browns had no choice but to move on from Nick here and bring in some young blood at running back. And I also think they needed and wanted an upgrade from Jerome Ford. And I don't know that Nick was that guy. I love him, man. I so love watching that guy run the football. And I hope he's really good this year. But they had the opportunity with all these picks to go ahead and set themselves up at running back for the next 4 or 5 years. And so I don't have any qualms with it.
Well, that I like the two running backs that they picked. My point is you brought up Ford, and I didn't see anything special from Ford last year. So what's
neither did they, because they brought in two.
So as I'm saying, like if I'm forced to make a decision, I'm going to keep Chubb over Ford because maybe Ford is more valuable to another team. He's not going to be as valuable to us because we have Judkins and Sampson. So I'm going to keep Chubb because if you just look at, let's take an extreme example. Let's look at what Saquon Barkley did. He was injured. He blew out his knee in 2020. That next year he averaged 3.5 yards per carry. Like he didn't have a great year. And then look what the guy just did last year. Like, for me, you look at Chubb, he averaged around 3.5 yards per carry last year behind a crazy the issues with the quarterback, issues with the offensive line. He was playing hurt. And I feel really strongly when you look at these running backs and you look at specifically Nick Chubb and his work ethic, I have a lot of faith that, you know, he's going to have a great year, whatever role we put him in. And, I, you know, when you need like that first down, you know, 4 or 5 yards, you keep the young guys back, put, you know, if he's available to you, he's had he has a long history of getting you 5+ yards per carry.
David, I can't argue about Nick. I think he's phenomenal. I don't think he's the same back he used to be. Jerome Ford running behind that same line with those same quarterbacks last year averaged 5.4 yards per carry.
I don't see anything special. I was waiting. I was kind of hopeful for Ford last year. I just didn't. There was no game. There was no.
This isn't about Jerome Ford. It's about Nick Chubb. And you're going to sign Nick and tell him to sit there and watch Judkins and Sampson run the football? That's not going to happen either.
David, thank you. Appreciate it. Let's,
Andy, don't you wish Nick were healthy and this hadn't happened and he was the guy? I wish he was the starting running back here. I do.
And we can talk about this in a moment, too. That, I mean, ask yourself, Nick Chubb coming off a second injury or Jerome Ford? Because if you listen to what Andrew Berry said this morning on the morning show.
That's not really, it's not either one or the other. I think, Andy, a better way to even put it is, is it Quinshon Judkins or is it Nick Chubb? And I don't think anybody can sit here and think you wouldn't want the young guy.
I just think fans are going to look at it, and we'll talk about this in a second. I just think fans are going to look at it was they decided to keep Jerome Ford over Nick Chubb. 216-474-0092.
That's the third running back, right?
The Fan.